As a first-time mom, I have to admit, I really didn't know what to expect. But the people at Passport did. Besides covering me and my baby for maternity care and checkups, they offered me extra rewards for things I really needed, like gift cards so I could buy a crib or car seat, and gift cards for groceries and gas. All I had to do to earn these rewards was join their Mommy Steps program for new moms and keep my doctor's appointments, things I was going to do anyway. When they say, we take the time to care, they really mean it. That's why I choose Passport.
Why will you choose Passport? Call 1-800-578-0603. That's 1-800-578-0603. And choose Passport. 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan. We take the time to care.
Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Robbing and shooting and raping and killing. Bloody murder, molesting, running airplanes into buildings. Every time I turn around.
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am podcast network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
And welcome into the very frigid Rusty Satellite Show this week. This is where you hear from the most interesting people in the Ville. Again, fulfilled my mission this week. I've talked to, in the second half of the show, I have a former lobbyist and a leader in the sustainability movement here in town, Sean Van Dievender. Is a tough one to pronounce, but I got it figured out. Sean was is fascinating. You'll hear from him in the second half of the show. First up, we'll have Will Russell, who is quite a story in itself. Maybe if you had to have a competition for the most interesting guy in the city, he would be in the top 10 for sure. I'll tell you about Will in just a second, but this is the Rusty Satellite Show, one of the few things in town that is not canceled this week because of snow and cold. You know, the kids have been out of school all week. We're getting all our weather in one little big blast, I guess. I'm recording this on Wednesday night. Thursday, we're expecting this big blast of very, very cold weather, sub-zero temperatures, and it's got all the TV weather people in a tizzy. I've been sort of watching that. It's canceled a lot of events in town. I was surprised. Actually, on Tuesday night, they had the Fleetwood Mac show at the Yum Center. I did not go, but heard it was a smashing success for those that made it. I understand a lot of people who aren't in Louisville who were planning to travel to the show couldn't get there because of the conditions and were upset. But, you know, that's the way it goes. When you schedule something in Louisville in February, you're taking a chance. So one of the things that I was going to go to, I'm disappointed I missed, was the Louisville, the gosh, mind blank on the name. 502 Restaurant Week, which is underway now, starts on the 18th of February. It's an opportunity to go to enjoy a special menu at a special price at some of the finest restaurants in town. They usually have a kickoff event on that was scheduled for Monday night, and it has been postponed until March 2nd, but that's always a great event. Last year, you know, I had Belinda Gates, who started that organization, as my guest on the Rusty Satellite Show, and they were nice enough to invite me back to that event, so I'm sure I'll go. You know, you know these restaurants that are included. They're everywhere. It starts with Asia Teak and ends with Winston's Restaurants. A lot of the some of my favorites are on here. The Village Anchor is there. Valari, Wild Rita's, the Troll Pub. I've been to almost all of these. So you ought to check it out online at 502. It's 502 Restaurant Week, and it's a promotion for local restaurants, which is very good. Speaking of local restaurants, my friends at Louie Louie's have been braving the cold weather. I drive by there almost every day, and there's always something going on. I'm anxious to see this Thursday if they still get a crowd. I know it's tough on restaurant business when the weather's this cold. It's so easy to just stay home, but if you get out and go to Louie's, guarantee you it's good food and good times. I had this. You know, it's not just pizza. They're the home of the Detroit authentic style pizza. But I had a pasta dish, vegetable pasta dish the other night. It was really, really good. So don't just restrict yourself to pizza over there at Louie's. Try some of the other menu items. It's really good. So, well, let's get on with the show here. I was very excited when I found out that I was able to schedule Will Russell on the show. Those of you who don't know about Will, he is famous in this town. He runs the Y Louisville stores. There's one in Nulu. They're a tourist attraction in themselves. He has all this memorabilia and clever t-shirts and cool stuff, just cool stuff. And if you ever go right there in on Market Street in Nulu, the Y Louisville store is pretty well-known place, an adventure to go inside. And he also originated the Lebowski Fest, which has been a big success. Well, Will is a complex young man and has a lot to say. He's really excited about this project. He's got an agreement to purchase Guntown Mountain, which is a roadside attraction down near Mammoth Cave in Cave City. And he's been getting a lot of publicity for it. He was on, he's been on TV, had some things written about him. But, you know, he really made it when he got a chance to visit with me for the Rusty Satellite Show. Take a listen to our interview. It took place down in this basement he has on Baxter Avenue, where there's all this stuff he's got, you know, and it was fun for me because, you know, he collects stuff like Pee-wee's Playhouse stuff from Pee-wee Herman. I was able to, you know, I can remember watching the first run episodes of Pee-wee's Playhouse come on Saturday morning when I was in college. And so it brought back some great memories. And that's what this, you know, the memorabilia is all about. Will does a great job of explaining what he's got planned at Funtown, not Guntown, but Funtown Mountain when it opens later this year. Here's my interview with Will Russell. And today, the Rusty Satellite Show is in a very interesting place. It looks like the Will Russell's playroom down here. Will, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Rick. We call it the fun house down here.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of fun stuff here. I see Hunter Thompson stuff. I see Pee Wee Playhouse stuff. All kinds of stuff. How do you collect this kind of stuff?
Oh, I've been collecting all my life. And part of the Cave City project that we're working on down at the former Guntown Mountain called Funtown Mountain is going to have a museum called the Imagination Land Museum. So that's going to be like a pop culture museum with several dioramas, like Christmas Land and Halloween Land and Elvis Land and Taxidermy Land. So, wow. You know, I've just been waiting to close this deal. We close on March 31st and break ground April 1st. So it's just been a matter of just waiting because everything's done. The business plan's done. I present to the tourism department tomorrow in Frankfurt for some funding and tax incentives. The finances are secured. Everything's ready. So basically I've been killing time by driving around the region, going to various antique malls and junk stores and buying it all up.
Wow. Well, it sounds like fun. Now, for folks who don't know, the old Guntown Mountain, soon to become Funtown Mountain, you know what? I mean, how are people, what's going to attract people to go there? I mean, because, you know, all of us go up and down 65, we see it all on the side of the road, but now there's going to be something cool to see there, right?
Well, there's always something cool to see in Cave City. Cave City is the roadside attraction capital of America. I've always loved it there, and I've always wanted to do a project down there, and Guntown Mountain became available last year. I was unable to move on it. I was kind of overwhelmed. I was in a very bad depression. Mm-hmm. Couldn't really think or move, so I was doing well to just manage the Y Louisville store and the Lebowski Fest, my other businesses. But I went and I bought it this year.
Good deal.
Yeah.
It sounds great, and I know there's some details.
Phone's ringing, dude.
Yeah, phone's ringing. Things are going on. So it's going to open. Tell me what part is going to open and how soon.
Well, in June, we're going to open up at the foot of the mountain on a very limited basis. Let's let the message play.
Yeah, there you go. We always have this.
Lebowski Fest, by the way, never answers the phone. That would be very undue to us to answer the phone.
That's right. That doesn't seem like it would fit with the whole idea.
Phones ringing, dude. But I do, encourage people to send us an email. Because really, who uses telephones anymore? Come on, people.
Yeah, not many.
Let's knock it off already. Email, texts, Facebook, you know.
But if this is all modern, now let me check this with you. This is all modern, but you're going back almost in time with a roadside attraction and
absolutely.
A Wild West theme and all
Guntown
that.
Guntown Mountain is an historic site. It was built in the late 60s by a man named Dan Brody. And it also has a haunted house called the Haunted Hotel. It's the oldest haunted attraction in America. Wow. So we're going to preserve everything. The Wild West Village, the Lucky Lady Saloon. And then we're going to open in June. We're going to have the haunted house going. We're going to have the putt-putt going, putting in Kentucky. We're going to have some pop-up stores. We're going to have some Airstream trailers. It'll be, one will be a souvenir shack with T-shirts and gifts and what have you. The other will be a hillbilly tea shack with coffee and burgoo and what have you. And then we're going to have a bunch of carnival rides down in the parking lot, too. And we'll have that chairlift going along with a zip line. So just amusements is what you can expect this June. And then by the fall, we hope to have our museum open, the Imagination Land Museum. We hope to have...
Some of the stuff from this room, I guess, will be there.
All of it, yes.
Okay.
It'll be something, I'm telling you. But, you know, I kind of feel like I've been working my whole life to prepare myself for this project. Everything about it, you know, I've always loved roadside attractions. I've always loved Kentucky. I've always loved Cave City. You know, so it's like...
So there's going to be shows there, though, and I've heard you say no more cowboys.
Well, no, that's not true.
Okay.
No more guns.
No more guns. Good.
Yeah, just fun.
Okay. And clowns. And,
well, no, not really. It's just a fucking logo.
Okay.
I'm so sick of hearing about clowns. It's our mark that we've chosen. And like the Facebook, you know, we've gotten over 27,000 followers in a month. And there's a bunch of people on there that get on there and complain about the clown, and they are promptly banned from the page. I have zero tolerance for negativity. It's a place for positivity and fun and excitement. If they're not there for that, then they can't play.
Sure.
I mean, I may let them back on at some point, but I'm not going to put up with it. So it's Funtown Mountain.
Okay.
It's not Guntown Mountain. There's been a lot of backlash. You know, people have been saying somehow taking away the guns translates to taking away their guns, which is not true. I've been called
a
liberal,
stretch.
And someone actually wrote the terrorists have won because of Funtown Mountain. I've been called all kinds of things, but you know what? We'll still have some squirt guns for them.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. I guess anytime you do anything public, you're going to have people on both sides of stuff.
Well, people don't like change.
Exactly. Exactly. But wasn't the old park... sort of going downhill or
yeah, absolutely, it was in decline.
It needs some energy.
Well,
like
Cave
yours.
City is like a wonderful magical place. Wigwam Village and Dinosaur World and Putt-Putts and Alpine Slide and, you know, Man
and the cave. And the cave's there.
The world's largest cave. They say it goes to California. It's one of the seven natural wonders of the world. 500,000 people every year go there. And 65 is a highly trafficked artery in a country.
Oh, yeah.
So all that Cave City has ever needed was just a little bit of attention.
Sure.
So what I've done is, first of all, we're branding Cave City as the roadside attraction capital of America. And that's easy to do. Like Austin, Texas is the live music capital of the world because they said so.
Yeah.
So it's that easy. So we're going to do billboards like See Cave City and come on down to Funtown, whatever, join the fun. And social media has met Cave City. And... it's been explosive.
Yeah.
I mean, the Instagram, I'm taking pictures every day. I don't have any short-term memory. I had the electroshock therapy a few months ago for the depression. So the good news is that it worked. It saved my life. It was terrifying, but it worked. So now I take pictures all the time because if I don't, I won't remember.
Sure.
Like, I don't know where I park my car, ever. So I try to park it in the same spot. I have this little beeper clicker thing on my key that helps me find it. But it's a small price to pay for being so present and so happy. So anyway, I'm basically documenting every breath of this project. Every person that is contributing, every goofy thing I buy at the antique store, every trip we take to Cave City, every person we talk with that has something to say about it, every road trip I take, every song I listen to on the radio. It's all there. We're building the dream right on Instagram. And then Facebook is a little more, you know, curated.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 10 posts a day.
Okay.
As opposed to 50 on Instagram. And I'm kind of a heavy social media user. But it's actually worked out pretty well. Because now we have over 300,000 followers in our network. That's Lebowski Fest, Why Louisville, and Funtown Mountain.
I was going to say, the other projects you have, you know, the Why Louisville store is sort of a tourist attraction in itself.
That's right.
It's a fun place to go and look around.
Yeah.
And I would think that people that are involved in that and people involved in Lebowski Fest are also going to be sort of interested in in this.
Well, I mean, this the content, the subject matter, if you will, for Funtown Mountain is literally unlimited. It's everything. It's the Wild West, it's clowns, it's Cave City, it's Kentucky, it's Native Americans, it's Beetlejuice, it's Colonel Sanders, it's Abe Lincoln, it's Jim James, it's
going to be a lot to see. And
Burgoo, it's tea, it's haunted houses, it's Halloween, it's putt-putt, it's Kentucky, you know.
Yeah.
It's moonshine, it's bourbon, it's craft beer, it's hamburgers, it's the American...
When you say it like that, I wonder why nobody thought of this before.
Well, it's everything. There's no limit. Mm-hmm. So it's been very easy to create content. In fact, I have to kind of stop myself.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, I'd like to post that, but Jesus, I just posted something 2 minutes ago and 3 minutes before that, you know. People are going to stop following.
So it's an iron 15 minutes or so down the road from Louisville.
I recommend Dixie Highway. Take the Bonneville exit and go Dixie Highway, 31
W. Oh, yeah. More scenic?
It's beautiful.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like a blast. I can't wait to see, like, the stuff in this room down there.
Well, everybody likes a road trip.
Yeah.
And it's a great, like, family destination. Spend a whole weekend there. Go to the cave, go to Funtown Mountain, go to Wigwam Village, you know, go to Dinosaur World.
Or just stop on the way.
And now, I like to think of Cave City as the land of a million Instagrams. And I've already posted at least a million.
Wow. Wow.
So many more to come.
It sounds great. I wanted to ask you one thing about, I did read you've gone in with some professional park builders, I guess.
That's right. The Weber Group. Yeah. Fantastic. They built Kentucky Kingdom. They built Holiday World. And they're an architectural design and development firm in Sellersburg, and it's what they do. So they're managing the whole project.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That must be great. Because it doesn't seem like you have a big staff or a lot of people involved. Do you have...
Actually, I do.
Okay.
I call them the Dream Team. I have an art director, creative director. We call him the Dream Director. His name is Art Embry. He was a consultant for Holiday World, and he was a creative director at a local news station. I think it was WHAS.
Okay.
So he's, like, managing the whole thing. Weber Group is managing development, subcontracting, budget, all that stuff. They actually wrote the presentation for tomorrow.
Okay.
I have a talent booker, Mark Evans. He books for Zanzibar. He's a really good job. I've got a secretary, my personal assistant, Emily Carter. She is the best thing that's ever happened to me. She prevents me from making an ass of myself on a daily basis. She's not a yes man.
Uh-huh.
I've got a yes man, Tyler Gill, who works for Lebowski Fest. But no, I've got a wonderful staff with me. I mean, these amazing, talented, lovely people. I've got two great managers, one for each Why Louisville store. And I've got a great staff with them. And, you know, it's just all a big dream team. And so I really don't have anything to do anymore except for take road trips,
well,
go shopping, and tweet.
You got to do interviews and do media.
Sure. I am basically the mouthpiece. That's my only job.
Yeah.
I've got a publicist. I've got a brand manager. I've got marketing people. You know, it's like I honestly don't have to do anything.
Yeah.
So that's kind of nice. I mean, my job is to take care of myself, to get enough sleep, to eat hamburgers, to do yoga, take a walk in the woods at least once a day. every once in a while, you know, tweet a picture
even
up
in the snow. Yeah,
but I have been pretty good at marketing.
Well, yeah, certainly, about, certainly your track
and
record
publicity sure
speaks for itself.
Yeah,
so
I've got a bullhorn, so
yeah. It's all good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I got to wrap it up here on the Rusty Show. But, Will, I am very anxious to see how things come out.
As am I. I wouldn't say anxious, but just excited. FuntownMountain.com has everything. It's got videos. Like, we did this aerial drone video. We did a tour. And then there's links to all the socials, Facebook, Instagram, what have you. And, you know, it's going to be great. There's ways to donate. Help out the cause. We're going to be doing some fundraisers coming up, so stay tuned.
All right. Well, thanks for being on the show, Will.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
As a first-time mom, I have to admit, I really didn't know what to expect. But the people at Passport did. Besides covering me and my baby for maternity care and checkups, they offered me extra rewards for things I really needed, like gift cards so I could buy a crib or car seat, and gift cards for groceries and gas. All I had to do to earn these rewards was join their Mommy Steps program for new moms and keep my doctor's appointments, things I was going to do anyway. When they say, we take the time to care, they really mean it. That's why I choose Passport.
Why will you choose Passport? Call 1-800-578-0603. That's 1-800-578-0603. And choose Passport. 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan. We take the time to care.
And welcome back to the Rusty Satellite Show. Thanks to Will Russell for taking the time out. He was preparing for a presentation he had in Frankfurt, something to do with the money that he's raised and that he's putting forward and getting that project going down in Cave City. I can imagine that anytime you're going down 65 from here on out, it leaves a few hours of free time to go visit Funtown Mountain. It sounds like a lot of fun. This is, for regular listeners, you know, this is the part of the show where I talk about some of the issues and stories in the news that that people are talking about in this town. And a lot of them, this week, there's been a flurry of media news. I'm going to start out with one sort of tragic piece of news. I just saw in the Courier-Journal, unfortunately, that Don G, the popular Wave TV news anchor, has been confronted with a series of physical problems over the last few years, and just basically conquered kidney cancer last fall. She had to miss some time on the air going through surgery, and seemed to be come back to the station in great shape, recovering. But unfortunately, they discovered a tumor in her stomach. And Dawn spoke to the Courier-Journal, and was very candid. There's a video there you can see. She's very sad. They don't really know what it's going to be yet, but she. She is going to go through another series of medical treatments, I guess, and problems. So our best wishes to Don G. Hopefully we can get her on the show here in the near future. But the other big media story is concerns the Courier-Journal. If you did not know, which a lot of people don't because nobody reads the Courier-Journal, it's another move. And I feel for Neil Buddy, who is the editor there, the man in charge, who was on this show last year, shortly after he took over the job. He has made a decision to close the Courier-Journal's Washington, D.C. bureau, which is for real news junkies, it's a real sad thing. Jim Carroll, a veteran reporter, been there since 1997, is being pushed out. He no longer going to see his byline in the Courier, and all of the reporters, and this is a common thing throughout Gannett papers, all the reporters at the paper have been asked to submit to reapply for their jobs, and there's a lot of shuffling around as the Courier attempts to stay relevant. The best coverage of this, of course, is in Insider Louisville. If you read the story written by Joe Sanka there on Insider Louisville, you know, the emphasis is on the closing of the D.C. Bureau, but it's really a case of the newspaper trying to stay relevant, I think. The newspaper, the Courier-Journal, is just one of many sources of news, and I think they have lost the most in the in this new media environment. Television stations has sort of picked up the pace. Of course, WDRB has really picked up the pace in terms of local coverage. You know, it used to be that the newspaper had the newspaper and everybody read the newspaper in the morning, and it's just not the case anymore. I still predict that one of these days, one of the major announcements out of the Courier is that they're not going to print a newspaper every day. Last week, I think they had another electrical problem. We didn't get our paper till like, I only get the Sunday paper and got it late Sunday, but it's just a fight to stay relevant and to make money. I'm sure it's very difficult to stay profitable when you still have to print that paper every day. So the coverage in the Courier is going to change once again. It'll be interesting to see what other changes come about from this reapplication for jobs. You know, all the reporters down there, most of them are just right out of school. There's a handful of veteran reporters down there, but you know, the paper, it's just a totally different thing than it used to be. And I think we're going to see changes. The Courier-Journal's D.C. Bureau has been around for decades, a long, long time. And, with Kentucky politicians having such a prominent role in Washington, with Rand Paul probably running for president, with Mitch McConnell as head of the Senate, you know, it seems a shame not to have a reporter in Washington following their moves on a daily basis. But that's what's happened at the Courier. So, I was blogging about the media probably from about 2007 to 2012 or so. And you know, it was like one of my main topics for writing about was the decline of the Courier. And certainly that continues with the news this week. So on the brighter side of media, you know, this weather has come in sweeps week, which is a great thing for the television stations. You know, they come on earlier in the morning. They come on at 4 a.m. now, and they're all competing to give you the best weather coverage. And you know, it's kind of funny. After a while, you watch it so much, if you don't watch any local TV, well, you're probably tuning in to see what's going on in the weather. And it's important and prominent. But they all overdo it so much. And I mean, all these people, like, if you like watch DRB's Mark Weinberg, he's like so serious and focused and such a student of weather, and they are all, and necessarily so, they're serious, and all the reporters have to go stand outside in the snow and show you how much snow there is, and we've become used to it, and that's the way it goes. It was interesting, though. You know, even I heard a couple of anchors the other day, like, congratulating their weather people for getting through this storm, this major storm. We had 8 inches the other day here in Louisville, and I think that's going to be the easy part. I think the tough part is this weekend's upcoming blast of frigid air, and here there's some more snow behind it, and you never know. But I've been trying to, like, keep at it. I went to work every day have been trying to drive around town. Actually, the roads, they didn't seem that bad with the snowstorm this week. I got through everywhere I needed to go pretty well. So, anyway, I want to talk about a few events that are on the calendar. First of all, next week, I hope to have a special guest on the show. Lori Due has been a cable network anchor. Believe it or not, she's the only one who's worked for MSNBC, CNN and Fox News in her career, but she is a recovering alcoholic, and she's going to talk about that at an event sponsored by The Healing Place, the Celebrate Freedom Dinner, which is Friday night. I went to this dinner a couple years ago. It was Ashley Judd talked, and it was a very moving speech, and I'm sure Lori's will be too. She is a has moved on, and she now does some stuff with the Glenn Beck online network. It's called The Blaze, and Lori apparently has a great story about her recovery from addiction, and if you want to check that out, check out thehealingplace.org and see what's going on with that. Another big event we talked about a few weeks ago, the Oscars are this weekend. And on Sunday night, there's a big party down at Copper and Kings. You can go back and listen to my interview with Stu Pollard, a local filmmaker, about that. hopefully the weather will cooperate and they'll be able to have that party. I spoke to the director of the Louisville Film Society, Susie Eastman, the other day, and they're very excited about the event. They have only they have a few tickets left. I think they're $100 each. Would encourage you to go. Also this weekend, the big event out at the fairgrounds is the Carl Casper's Custom Auto Show. You've seen those commercials on TV. It's amazing when people still market that way, but apparently it works. My company's been involved at the auto show for several years, so I'll be out there. Come by and see me at the Alpha Energy booth. It should be a good time this weekend, provided, you know, we don't all just stay home because of the weather. All right. So anyway, let's move on to my second guest. It's Sean Van Dievender. And Sean is a very interesting guy. He is a former political lobbyist, believe it or not. And we get into some topics regarding the political scene in Frankfurt and things that are going on. But Sean has a very interesting business involving sustainability. And I'll let him tell you about it here. Here's our interview on the Rusty Satellite Show. All right, the weather is awful and doesn't deter the Rusty Satellite Show. We're here at the Garage Bar with Sean Van Dievender. Sean, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Rick.
Sean, you're involved in a lot of green initiatives, sustainability movement. You must know a lot about climate change. It's cold outside, so I guess it's we really don't have anything to worry about.
Well, I'm no scientist. I won't go too in-depth on what weather we should or shouldn't have now, but I think the wind chill is officially at two below.
Ouch.
So I'll leave that up to scientists to argue whether we're warming or cooling.
Well, tell me, you know, just to introduce our audience, tell me a little bit about your business and all the cool, exciting stuff that you're doing.
I'm a big environmental guy, big on sustainability. So I started a company called EcoBridge Industries. We are a U.S.-based natural fiber supplier to U.S. manufacturers. By 2016, the natural fiber composite industry will be a $4 billion annual industry with a 10% annual growth rate. So by 2020, we'll be nothing right up on that $10 billion annual industry. And what natural fibers do is they replace petroleum-based in composites and plastics, or replace a tree base in paper products or building products such as wood. So you now have the concept of tree-free paper, tree-free wood, even the coffee cup I'm drinking.
Make wooden paper without trees.
Right, exactly.
Wow.
And so there are many applications for these fibers, ranging everything from animal bedding all the way up to actual energy production, both in biofuel and biomass, pelleted biomass. So EcoBridge Industries was created in 2014. Going back a little bit, 2011, started looking at other applications that would either rival or outproduce hemp, knowing that hemp was going to be a hotbed issue in Kentucky. And being a proponent of hemp, wanted to see how I could best align myself entrepreneurially in that market, knowing what was coming down the pike. So since then, I've created EcoBridge Industries. We're working with several entities that are interested in not only moving to Louisville because of our logistical advantage here, being within one day's drive of the U.S. population. I think 65% of the population is within a day's drive of Louisville, but also because of the very supportive environment around green and sustainability initiatives that's being driven by Mayor Fisher right now. He's put out his Louisville Sustainability Plan, and you also have the creation of the Louisville Sustainability Council. I'm co-chair of the Green Economy Action Team, where we sit and look at how do we create green jobs in Louisville. One, what is a green job? What is a green economy? How do you define that? How do you apply metrics to that? And two, how do we track it over time to see if there truly is, you know, a move in the scale?
Yeah. All those topics. I know you must be a favorite of the mayor and a lot of politicians, because I mean that's the popular thing. I think a lot of people are talking about. So how do you do some of those things? I mean, your company. You know, I think people must think guys like you sit around and, you know, try to
dream up things that aren't real, but this is real.
Yeah, this is real. I think the biggest thing is you look at trends in the market, like I just said, that's already on the cusp of a $4 billion annual industry. So why, as a U.S. manufacturer, would I continue to pay a high dollar to ship something from Southeast Asia that I can grow in my backyard in Kentucky? You have suppliers, 137 auto component suppliers in Kentucky. We're the third largest auto manufacturer in the United States. Ford and Toyota, both located here, both use natural fibers and composites in their vehicles. Why do they do that? Why have Lexus and Toyota ruled the fuel efficiency market for 30 years? Because they've replaced petroleum-based composites with plant-based composites. Just so happens being that Toyota is centralized out of Japan, they're going to find their feedstock central to Southeast Asia, whereas Ford is an American company and has been using plant materials in Ford since 1940s. So we're looking at creating supply chains with manufacturers and processors in Louisville based around the supply of these natural fibers from Kentucky. Everybody knows that hemp is now up for discussion. It's actually been legalized to a certain extent, and there are pilot projects that have been going on for the past year. We aren't focused specifically on hemp, but if we have end users for the hemp, we'll definitely help supply that from Kentucky farmers.
Okay, and I know your background is in politics. You're a lobbyist, you told me, for several years. Let's get into that a little bit, and let's talk first about hemp, one of the many issues, in my opinion, that Kentucky is really failing on. But as I understand it, there is some movement on legalizing hemp.
Sure. So the exact verbiage as it stands right now is that it is legal for pilot projects administered by a certain university in the state. In Kentucky, the Department of Agriculture, under the direction of Commissioner Comer, James Comer, has done a great job in engaging all the major universities in the state, including the University of Louisville, who's looking at doing some brownfield remediation studies with hemp and some other crops that we're working with at EcoBridge. You have a group here out of Indianapolis that also has an office in Louisville that's looking at other, environmental remediation uses for these crops. For instance, one of the crops we're using, which is a hibiscus varietal, can sequester 20 tons of carbon per acre annually. So if we do an annual planting of that, we're going to pull out 20 tons of carbon from the air. Louisville has the largest urban heat island in the country, excuse me. And so for a mid-major city like Louisville to have such a large emission of heat from the energy we consume and burn in the city, why would we not offset that by using some alternative agriculture to absorb the carbon from the air? Trees, as we know, are the number one absorber of carbon from the air, and Louisville is working on, through the Sustainability Council, through the mayor's office, to up our tree canopy to help offset that actual heat island effect.
Right. I know that's going on. So there are pilot projects around the state on hemp, but I'm sure it's nothing like the potential. What's it going to take to make hemp a main crop? They talk about it, all the problems with tobacco and tobacco going away and the need for hemp. Let me ask you, the political question. I mean, do these legislators that keep voting against progressive ideas like this, I mean, are they afraid people are going to get high on this stuff? Or?
That's interesting you bring that up. And for you to use the term legislator and progressive in the same sentence when you had a Republican commissioner of agriculture get it through the state legislature to even be considered by the feds. And then you had Senator McConnell and Senator Rand Paul, both Republicans, who championed this issue in D.C. through the Farm Bill so that we now have the ability to grow hemp illegally. I would argue that Kentucky, because of the legislation that was passed 2 years ago, is 3 to 4 years ahead of the rest of the country in actual industrial hemp because we have the infrastructure to regulate it, whereas other states are just now figuring out, oh, wait, Kentucky already has this. How do we catch up with them? I would say that our biggest competitor is probably going to be Colorado, but because of the legalization of marijuana there, I would argue that most folks are going to use that ground, that soil for marijuana as opposed to hemp. Don't have any science on that, but that would be my personal understanding of the industry.
Okay. So there are, I mean, you know, I used to cover this stuff, and now I'm sort of a, you know, throw darts at guys for, you know, what keeps it politically from being ahead of where it is now?
I would say right now it's education. You have one of the most poorest populations in the country is in eastern Kentucky, and we have a plethora of land down there that could be used for the growth of hemp and other agricultural products, specifically on former mine sites. And so when you have a congressman in Hal Rogers, who is the chairman of Appropriations and Revenue in D.C., who oversees that area of the state, I believe that he was and is still opposed to hemp. Because they see it as an issue. Well, hemp looks like marijuana. There go, you know, somebody's going to plant weed in the middle of their hemp field. The science proves otherwise, that hemp actually cross-pollinates with marijuana and kills the THC in it. So anybody that thinks that you can go out right now and smoke some hemp is going to get sick real quick. And anybody that tries to plant marijuana with their hemp is going to be diluted because the hemp is actually dominant over the other plant. You know, if you look at numbers of Kentucky State Police and what they've eradicated in marijuana over the past, let's just say, year, I think their numbers in 2012 were they estimated they eradicated 40% of the crop in eastern Kentucky valued at $2 billion. Now, if 40% of our crop in one part of the state is $2 billion, why is the most broke state in the country not looking at marijuana as a revenue generator?
Yeah. Well, it makes you scratch your head.
Politics. Yeah.
You know, it's all politics that, you know, in my view, holds the state back on issues like, you know, gambling and, you know,
right.
We could go on and on. All right. We've just got a few minutes left. Let's have some fun. You used to be a lobbyist.
I did.
Tell people, like, what do lobbyyists really do? And are they good or bad?
There are good lobbyists in many industries. And the way lobbying works is generally, let's take Humana, for instance. Humana is going to have their own in-house lobbyist who's going to help shape the policy or shape the actual legislation that they want to create or defeat. And then they will hire one or a team or a firm of lobbyists, such as that which I used to work for, to partner with them to take it to the legislature. And generally, you'll want to get a bill sponsored in both houses if possible, in revenue years where we're doing looking at the actual money, financial issues of the state, which is every other year. Most of those bills have to start in the House by law. So then you need to be buddied up very good with House leadership, which unfortunately for the city of Louisville is not represented whatsoever in the leadership of the state House.
Yeah, yeah. Among our issues. This is very interesting. I'd love to talk for another hour about this, but our time is about up here on the Rusty Satellite Show. Sean, I'm very interested in following your work and your projects. It sounds very exciting, sustainability and all
Thank
that.
You.
We'll look forward to it. I'm going to tell our leaders how to look you up or look your company.
Absolutely. My name is Sean Van Dievender. I'm available at Van Deves, VANDEEVS on Twitter. You can find me at Eco Bridge Industries, all one word, ecobridgeindustries.com. Sean at Eco Bridge Industries, and often out and about in the city trying to do my part to make Louisville greener.
Well, it was fun going down to Nulu at the Garage Bar. It was a pretty cool place. They were very hospitable down there, and talking to Sean about his business and politics in general. So that was a lot of fun. And this weather, let's just say, try to get out and go anyway. You know, a lot of people get in the habit of just sitting around the house, and I'm guilty of doing that. Watch some good TV. My favorite show, Justified, has just been better each and every week. And I saw the premiere of Better Call Saul, based on the Breaking Bad series with Bob Odenkirk. That was a really good show. There's a lot of good TV on, and I'm trying to stay busy watching that, and in addition to watching some good basketball. And I know I'm taping this on Wednesday night. The U of L Cardinals are getting ready to play up at Syracuse without Chris Jones. It's a very controversial thing. It doesn't look good for the future of this Louisville team. I've never really liked the style of play of Chris Jones, and it's going to be interesting to see if and when he comes back to the team, and if the Cardinals can go on a run and be successful in the
NCAA tournament. But anyway, we'll talk about that again on another edition of the Rusty Satellite Show. Again, I want to take the time to thank my sponsors, which are Passport Health Plans and Louie Louie's Detroit Authentic Style Pizza. And also want to mention my producer is Dan Vonderhyde of the Louisville.am network. There's plenty of other great shows on the network. I would urge you to check that out at Louisville.am. You can see a lot more information about this show and other things that I'm doing in town by going to LouisvilleKY.com or RustySatelliteShow.com. And please sign up for the Rusty Satellite Show Facebook page. I've got all kinds of updates on some on previous guests. There's been a lot going on with some folks. There was a story this week about Shannon Cogan, who's my guest on the my third show of all time. So that's the kind of thing you can catch if you sign up to get the Rusty Satellite Show Facebook page and your news feed. So that'll do it for this edition of the Rusty Satellite Show. I'll be back next week with more of the most interesting people in the Ville.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, at Ricky Redding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to LouisvilleKY.com, the pulse of the city.
Time.